Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
All right. Well, would you mind telling us again your name and your job title?
My name is Dr. Eleanor Getzer, and I'm a special ed teacher for Oklahoma City Public Schools, but I'm also a behavior specialist in two separate schools in Oklahoma City.
Awesome. And so I see your backstory with your degrees and such, and I want to get there. But how did you get into education? What made you decide to go this route?
My mother was an educator. My mother was a kindergarten teacher. But most my grandfather was my mentor, Colonel Jack Lucy. And my grandfather was a speech teacher in Russell, Kansas. And he taught Bob Dole and Orrin Hatch in
wow.
his class before he went to the war. So my grandfather, I was very close to him and we had many discussions about making a big difference in people's lives. So my undergrad was physical education, and I went off and did some other things. I was a golf ball scuba diver. I was a pastry chef for Hyatt Hotels, and I was Johnny Cash's personal pastry chef. And
oh,
then
my
I got
word.
Into one of my friends was a special ed teacher, and she wanted me to come make an appearance at her class, and I did. And I went back to the hotel 2 weeks later and get my 2 weeks notice and said I was going to be a special ed teacher.
Oh my word! I love that. That is a fascinating story.
Yeah.
That is great. And so you've gotten your undergrad, and that's in physical education.
I got my education. That's what I always say, was a good warm-up for working with children, some children with the behavior problems. I can dodge really well. So I got my undergrad, and I taught 1 year. PE, I taught in Woodward, Oklahoma. I'm from Woodward originally.
Okay.
And I went on and did the scuba diving and did the pastry, and then came back, got my master's in special ed at Southwestern, which had a great program. I did my emphasis in emotional disturbances. I did my residency in a psychiatric ward.
Wow.
And then I went on to OU. And I've always been interested in psychological, the mindset and the frame of mind. And so I got my PhD in behavior disorders at OU in 2006. And I did my residency at Child Trauma Center at OU Health Science Center. And I did it at the Child Study Center, and then another residency with the psychiatric piece at OU Health Science Center.
Wow, Eleanor, you are a fascinating woman.
Yes.
Seriously. So how do you and Kristen know each other?
It's interesting. One of the things that I'm doing is I haven't really reached out. I was on Lieutenant Governor Lamb's School Security Commission for 6 years, and I helped write mandates for state schools for our Oak State, and I started networking with some people. I met Lieutenant Governor Lamb. I met some great people. I met David Frater. He's now a friend of mine. And I met Brandon Clay, who's the chief place for Greenwood. So I met these other people, and I felt like I really needed to they shared with me I need to get out more into the community to just get back more of my talent. And so one of the things that I suggested to me was, Eleanor, you really need to get on Twitter. And I'm like, I really don't like doing that, but I started doing it, and I've met some really interesting people. I met Ben Beck, and she was seeing some of the things I advocate for special ed teachers throughout our state, and I advocate for students with severe behavioral concerns. So she got to know me, and Ann texted me and said, I would love to introduce you to Kristen, actually. And I said, okay, because I didn't know it. I really don't know the people. And so I met Kristen, and by Ann Beck's introduction, and we the same language.
Yes,
and so
you do.
We came up with this, and I would like to do more presentations if I can. But so Kristen, so we went over some of the questions and everything prior to, and I told Kristen, I said, you know what we should do? And I mean, I've done presentations because of my doctorate. I told Kristen, I think we should collaborate and do one together. Because then they can understand the counseling piece, and I'm from the educator's piece, and it would be that much more powerful. Because when I'm working with students with their behaviors, and this is what I told Kristen, is that I really use LPC counselors a lot. Counselors, social workers, it really takes a team to help some of these children with some behavior concerns.
No, I totally agree with you. So what were your...
Today I was in an IEP for emotionally disturbed a child that has autism was severe, and I worked very close to my counselor at Hawthorne. She's an LPC counselor, and we really worked together as a team, you know, if he's escalating behavior or getting other services brought into our school.
So it's so crazy. The first time I had heard trauma-informed and knew what an ACE score was interviewing Kristen and Stephanie Hinton, I think back in April. And all of a sudden, it's blowing up. I had never heard this before, and now I'm hearing it everywhere.
It is. It's coming. I work with a lot of it. This is my eighth year in Oklahoma City. Because you get more trauma-based children with low socioeconomic status. And did you see the first thing? I found that graph, that chart that I tweeted, that first question.
Yeah.
I found that last year, and I loved it. And because it really breaks it down and kind of really gets you an understanding how child abandonment, or if they're witnessing child violence, there are just a multitude. And I think we're seeing more, unfortunately, I'm seeing more children with that are drug babies or fetal alcohol syndrome babies that have witnessed horrific things, or their parents are in gang members. So they survive. They're survivalists.
Right.
And unfortunately, I've seen a lot with DHS, too. A lot of DHS with trauma-based children. So there is a definite art in working with this population because it's growing. It is really growing.
Yeah. So, I mean, other than just getting it out there, did you have a specific intention behind this chat, or just furthering the discussion so that we start this school year with it on the tip of our tongue, like in the front of our brain?
Say that again. I had a hard time listening to you.
Just, did you have a specific intention for this chat?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, I designed eight of the questions, and one thing that I talked to Kristen about, and I think we're seeing more of these horrific shootings throughout our nation.
Yeah.
Okay? And some of these guys are trauma-based. Okay? The young man I posted on Twitter a couple nights ago, there was an article in the New York Times where this young man at the Parkland High School, he was one of those.
Right.
So it deals with, and I went to Oklahoma City Public Schools Board in June and made a presentation to them. The young man that did a shooting, you know, in this over here in this restaurant in Oklahoma City.
Yes.
He had mental health problems. So what we're seeing is these white males in 20s and 30s that have this pent-up anger, aggression, and they're taking it out on innocent people. And I have designed an educational mental health program. I've done it for 18 years. It works 95% of the time. I'd be happy to send it to you.
Yes, please do.
It's where three areas of education, mental health, and law enforcement work together in order to accommodate this child and get them on the right path instead of going out and taking their aggression out in a restaurant or at a school. And many times these children, they don't have any social skills. They don't know how to communicate. And people said, you know, I don't understand. I said, well, wouldn't you be frustrated if you couldn't communicate? Anyone would be.
Right.
So So if we give them the right skill set and we teach teachers, you know, it's a different thing now being a high school teacher in any high school throughout our nation, because now more shootings are taking place in high school. So, but you need to really start with these children in elementary years, and that's part of my job. That's what I do, is I start in elementary, and I work with them and try to get them a skill set so they will, if you get their behavior under control, 90% of the time, their academic achievement will improve. And that helps their self-esteem, and that's why we're in, that's why we're all in education, you
right.
know?
Right. No,
I wanted to add that school security piece, but everything, yes, I strategically, there was a reason for each question that I put in there.
Well, and we can share that out when we share this episode. Did you have a favorite question of the night?
I would say school security is one of my passions.
Okay.
I worked with a child back in the 90s, and she had fallen through the cracks. She was special ed. And she murdered her baby daddy and went to jail. And I went to the jail 3 hours a week to teach this child how to read.
My.
And she ended up getting second-degree murder, 35 years. She just got out last year. She was at Naval Basset. But I thought the biggest gift that I could give her, especially being incarcerated, was teach her how to read. And I was able to improve her reading by 3 grade equivalents.
That's amazing.
And, you know, it gave her more of another world that she got to escape into by reading and not feeling like she was constantly being incarcerated. So it was kind of, it did improve her mindset, and it did improve her behavior when she was being jailed in jail.
Now, I hear you say your passion is the security in education, but I see you wrote your dissertation on something I'm very interested about, the burnout.
Well, the burnout was, mine finalized, the burnout, people were burning out in the early 2000s, and then they burned out, and not very many people filled the position. So I have the knowledge to, I know how to go in and put models in school districts and schools, programs that support the special ed teachers, because there's a difference between working hard and working smart.
Right.
And because they're constantly doing meetings, teaching meetings and paperwork, and it's a person that has to be logistically very organized and be able to juggle 3 balls at one time. So I know how to put support programs in schools and school districts that you want. My program helps retain those teachers in school districts. So,
well, that's awesome. Why do you think they were burning out in the 2000s? Was there anything new going on?
Well, they didn't have the technology. That's a good question. They didn't have the new IEP program, computer-based programs now. So that was one of them. I mean, I remember way back where they were handwriting all the IEPs.
Right.
Back in the 90s. So they've really come a long way. You know, Hoffmeister, she came in and did a lot of good things, Superintendent Hoffmeister, by bringing in Ed Plan and then making it networked with all districts in the state of Oklahoma. So my hat's off to her. She did that. She understands, and Dr. Robin Miller is fabulous with OSDE. I was on the special ed, the teacher shortage, and they're having these discussions, which is way ahead of some, you know, I mean, this is a great, they're having these conversations that we desperately need more teachers. The problem now is, as you know, they're all going to, there aren't many special ed teacher candidates, and then they leave to Texas. So that means the teachers that are in the field right now, their caseloads are going up tenfold. I mean, it used to be 25 students used to be on the average on your caseload. Last year, I had 44. So it's just skyrocketing. So that's why these teachers need as much support as they can get.
So I do have a question about lowering some of that. I mean, and I'm not a special ed person, and I'm about to show just how much I don't know, but do students identified with having ADHD, are they in the special ed world?
Yes. What they've done with the federal government years ago, they acknowledged that, the feds acknowledged that ADHD is like a neurological disability.
Okay.
Now, ADD is not, ADHD is. So they can go to their physician, you know, sometimes we'll fill out a medical report at school. These are the behaviors that we're seeing at school. And they find, the parents find a non-disclosure. I give the paper and they take the child to the doctor. If the parents choose, it's all on the parents' choice. We don't recommend it. And they're the ones, the parents, that are taking the lead on that. And they go, and sometimes they'll be on medication, sometimes not. If they're on medication, then I help monitor that in the classroom. And I've seen it make a tremendous difference if a child can focus on the task. So a lot of drug babies, many of them have ADHD, impulsivity. They can't sit still enough to be able to focus. They may be really smart though, you know. But if you can do some modifications, like sometimes they don't like noise or noise cancellation. If they have sensory, if they're hyper or anything, they get calmed down, and that helps them. Some of them, I pull them in and do like 40 minutes of remediation and reading, and then that break in a really kind of a calm environment helps them, and then they go back into their regular classroom. But there's more and more ADHD, yes, being identified.
Well, and so I'm wondering if with the rise of ADHD, with the rise of knowing about trauma and trauma-based behaviors, can we remove some of that off of the special ed world's plate and bring it back to the classroom more? I mean, I'm looking for another burnout to happen with the number of cases, you know.
Oh, yeah, but that's what, you know, it used to be, you don't want them to burn out. Now the teachers, now you just want to retain them. But the trauma-based children, if they're severe, they'll be in a self-contained, special ed, emotionally disturbed classroom.
Oh, okay.
That's where I work with them. I'm working with them now at just both schools. And so, you know, here's like, you might have four students who have severe behavior problems or could be trauma-based. And like today, I may have Variety Care working with one student. I may have Red Rock working with another student's counseling. So it just depends on the need of the child. And we have great stakeholders. We have great resources in the Oklahoma City area that we are able to pull in and collaborate with. And sometimes by not only work with the child, we'll work with the family as well. And then the good thing about Oklahoma City Public Schools is we have social workers.
Okay.
That's the good news. The bad news is we don't have enough of them, but we do have some. And the one thing, I mean, they're wonderful. I'm telling you, social workers are absolutely fabulous to have as another resource. And they come in and help work with the child as well, the trauma-based child as well. So it's the IEP team. It really works together.
Okay. Well, so what are some of your passions in education right now? Like, what really excites you, maybe outside of
this? What really excites me, this is what I told Mr. Frater and Lieutenant Governor Lamb, is that I do not want our Oklahoma jails and prisons full of individuals with mental illness. I want more, I want them to be able to be, not be incarcerated. Let's get them the supports that they need as early as their elementary years. So let's stop this school to prison pipeline. We need to shut that down. And it would minimize your homelessness rate. It would minimize your crime rate. It would affect everything. So I think if we could get the supports to the children with severe behavior problems, get them going in the schools, we could help out. Our communities would say it would help out in every which way to the state.
What's the first step with that? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
Yes, and I'm doing it. Identifying in elementary.
Okay.
Now, I mean, right now I'm working with children with some pretty good. I mean, it's just, and it's not the child's fault. If you do that, if a child acts out, they're crying out for help, is what they're doing, and so. I work with the identify in the elementary. Now, when I was in high school, if they were arrested, which I had some that were arrested, a young man in high school, schizophrenic, he was arrested. So he he had a probation officer. I worked with the probation officer to try to get him back on track and the counseling as well.
Okay.
So that's another piece. And I'll send you that model tomorrow.
I would absolutely love it. I mean, this is so fascinating. Who are your edu heroes, Eleanor?
Veteran special ed teachers that remain in school.
Aww.
And especially any teacher that works with the self-contained, emotionally disturbed children. Those are my heroes. Those people that choose to remain to make a difference in that area. I applaud their loyalty. And for those individuals, I'm working with one. I'm kind of training one right now in one school to meet those needs. And it takes a special person to do that. It really does, a special person. Especially when these children can be maybe at times aggressive. How to de-escalate them, calm them down, and educate them at the same time. I mean, teach social skills, math, reading, and spelling at the same time. It really takes a truly gifted person to do that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me about this.
You're very welcome.
You're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma. Okay.